Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I want you to open your Bibles with me tonight over into 2 Corinthians, and we'll go over to about the 11th chapter. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Before I go on any farther, now let me comment just a little bit about this. You know, there's many times when we hear words, and it brings thoughts. Do you realize that I could say, depending on the kind of people that I'm amongst or around, there's certain words that I could say, and it's going to generate a totally different thought than what it would in me. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to see eye to eye. We're not to pierce each other through. We're supposed to have the same mind, the same judgment of one another as the body of Christ. But I find that I could get with different people and they would still consider themselves as part of the one and the same body of Christ, many denominations, things, and we could say a word, but it totally brings a different thought. If you remember in teaching the other day, I was speaking about the word gay. And see, when we use a word of such to you and I, we would think of something that's happy. We would never apply it to anything that is perverted. We wouldn't use a word for that to express of something of a perversion or an immorality or something as sin. There's no sin that we would express to use a term of something happy. So you see, again, there is a word that has been altered and perverted and changed over the years. And there's many words that have been altered and modified and perverted over the years, and even terminologies that we would use as Christians, they've taken on a totally different meaning. You know, and sometimes you feel like, and we're in a day and hour, that almost if we're going to use the terminology as a Christian, I sometimes feel like we've got to come with an expression of the word, because everybody's a Christian nowadays. Do you realize that? Everybody's professing Christianity, and they call themselves Christian. I remember, you know, years ago when I was in the aviation world, and I remember coming across a Christian Pilots Association. I thought, man, praise God, hallelujah. But you can put the name Christian in front of a lot of pilots and it don't mean much. You know what I'm saying? They just don't seem to have much Christianity in them. But we find, again, that we use terms and terminologies, but one person, when you use the word Christian, it would have possibly a whole different aspect of thought than to another individual. Do you realize somebody that raised up and they say, well, son, yeah, we're Christians. And then they watch the lasciviousness, the looseness, the immoralities, maybe even the perversions of their upbringing in their household. But mom and dad said they was a Christian. You know, I went to a crusade one time and they had a great evangelist there. I went forward and I said a prayer after him and repeated it. You know, he said, I'm saved. I believe that. Well, I like faith. And I'm not mocking brethren evangelistic endeavors and efforts. But I can tell you one thing, everybody that goes forward in the prayer line don't leave with the Spirit of God. Amen. We would like to think they did that way. If it was that way, we'd have had this world turned upside down. Amen. For the gospel of Christ. Amen. With the hundreds of thousands that have been into the altars. You know, so oftentimes we think of the things that we observe and watch. And, you know, this one denominational work or one religious organization or institution, we might say, and they say, well, this is what repentance is. If we ask a Catholic, what is repentance? Well, we go to a booth and we go in there with this man we call Father, the priest, and we confess of our sins and the things that we've done wrong, and he has a solution for that. And we say, as the Protestant church, we say, well, we're not in agreement with that. Well, then the Baptists maybe have one kind of repentance. And then the Pentecostals might have another kind of repentance. But see, we shouldn't have all these things, brethren. But it's that way. It's that way when we observe and we look and see what's going on in the religious realms. Brethren, we need an absolute tonight. I like Brother Paul here. He said, I appreciate to hear that you use the King James Bible. I say, yea and amen. But I've known people to use the King James Bible and they leave off the absolutes, amen. They take and pervert. But I do appreciate the fact that the brother's looking for that, at least because there's so many things. So the thing is that many times people, they like the way some of these things are written. We take some of the offensive things out. You know, we don't want to offend nobody, they think. Well, I'm sorry to say the gospel that I preach isn't offensive, amen. And my Lord and my Savior Jesus was a very offensive person. He said very strong things. He called them blind, slow bellies. He called them blind leaders of the blind. called them dogs and vipers and snakes and hypocrites. Probably wouldn't go over too well in some of the churches today. A preacher does that and the deacons will be moving them right on out of the church, amen. But we got to come to an understanding that the Word of God is going to bring reproof, exhortation. It's going to bring also comfort, amen. But we need to know that the Word of God will bring chastening, amen. That's God's way, amen. You know, naturally speaking, as a father, you show me a father that doesn't discipline their children and don't believe in discipline, you're going to find a child that's out of order, and you're going to find a house that's out of order because the father's out of order. And it's the same way in the house of God. If they've got some kind of something over them, they don't allow them to bring chastening and discipline, amen, even open reproof and rebuke in the house of God, then there's something that's in error and out of order. Now again, as I was speaking about words here, and I think it says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I could take you over into the Old Testament, and this is the name of God. Do you realize that? You say, well, he's got many names over there in the Old Testament. You know, he's got one name of, you know, they might say Jehovah. Another one might say Lily of the Valley. Or we might say the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and many things. You know, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. But in the Bible, it says that my name is Jealous. You understand that? This is how the Lord, he said, this is one of his names. My name is Jealous. Now, we know that the Bible teaches there's a jealousy as cruel as the grave. And we know that there's a jealousy that's ungodly. We know that there's an anger that has sin in it. But then yet God angers. But he tells us to anger and sin not. So we've got to come to an understanding of what does this word mean. And so oftentimes, brethren, we need to have a jealousy in our spirit. Do you understand that? He would have never used a name to identify him. But when the Lord uses a name of such, and see, there is a jealousy that you need to be careful. I see jealousy causes so many problems. It can cause marital problems. Do you realize a marriage without jealousy has got a problem? And then with the wrong kind of jealousy, it's got a bigger problem. A man should be jealous over his wife. This is what the Lord's talking about us right here. He's jealous over you and I. You see, when we profess Christianity, we're professing to be the bride of Christ. This is what the church is when we look at it in this dimension. I know that I'm a man. You say masculine. But in the dimension of the church, you understand that? And this is where people don't understand sometimes. You know, they say, well, if you naturally, brother, are a man, masculine, so that means when you say you're the bride of Christ, it must be in the spiritual realm. But see, that would mess up the scriptures also. Is that correct? It said there's no male nor female in the spirit, right? So then how could I say, well, where do I fit at in this bride dimension? And we got to realize that in the second dimension, it has to do with the soul realm. It has to do with the physical. Now, Paul spoke about a mystery. He said, I show you a mystery that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Now, think about that. It didn't say one in the spirit, did it? Now, this is many times people will go to that scripture to try to justify a three-God doctrine. They'll use a scripture of such. Now, again, I try to be careful how I speak because people want to say, well, are you a oneness? Are you a threeness? Are you a Trinitarian? What are you? Somebody says, well, I'm correct in the Bible. I'm a Trinitarian. Well, please show me that in the Bible. Somebody says, I'm correct in the Bible. I'm a oneness. Please show me that in the Bible. The Bible said there's one God. The Bible teaches Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. They both got accuracies, but they both got errors. So if you say, well, I'm going to agree with the Trinitarians more than I'm going to agree with the oneness. Well, which ones are you going to agree with? I mean, I could take you into so many. The Catholics are Trinitarian. Are you going to agree with them? Or are you going to go into the booth with the priest? Are you going to count your beads? Are you going to say your Hail Marys? Which part of the Catholic Trinitarian doctrine are you going to be in agreement with? Well, I'm Baptist Trinitarian. Well, which part of the Baptist Trinitarian doctrine are you going to be? Are you going to be a Calvinist Baptist? Or maybe a Free Will Baptist? Maybe a Southern Baptist? Maybe a First or Second Baptist? Which Baptist are you going to be? Well, we're all pretty close. Well, I agree, we're all pretty similar. I got some similarities with the Catholics too. But we have some disagreements. So where am I going to line up with tonight? Well, let me tell you this, brethren, there was many things that we could have lined up with years ago. Years ago, you know, if I could take you back a few hundred years back, we could have lined up with the Catholic Church, but it went through the Dark Ages and went through some perversions and changes. I could think of the founder of the Methodist Church and a very anointed man of God with convictions. He would be very disappointed with the Methodist Church today. You know, and so it doesn't matter where you want to go and what, you know, what is correct anymore today. There used to be decency in a lot of places that it's departed. You know, we don't watch television, don't keep them in homes, but if we even would talk about television, it was a time you could have put your family in front of one without them being perverted. You'd have to go back many years ago. But I mean, there used to be decency. But everything has made this course of perversion. The brother shares a testimony with me tonight about a place that was founded some 60 or more years ago. A printing organization printing literature, sent it all over the world at no charge. And the man passed away and all the changes that are being made. Now they're charging and they're changing and bringing in doctrines and different things that they were just keeping things somewhat simplistic. Why is everything going through a change, brethren? Why is everything, and see, even from the sacred desk or the pulpits around our country, there's changes. You know, there might have been a time you said, yes, this is what my convictions are. This is the way I believe. You could line me up with this denomination. But then I look at that denomination. I was involved with denominational works many years ago. You know, I might say 30 years ago in some of the works that maybe I was involved with. And I think, what the changes that have taken place? Why was it something that they had convictions of then, but now it's okay? I remember when I first got saved, I pulled into a gas station to buy gas, and it was an elderly sister in the car. And we pulled into the gas station, she said, what are you doing here? We're going to get gas. Why are you buying it here? Well, it's a gas station. They sell beer and cigarettes in there. And I look over, and there's a sign hanging in the window. I said, hey, I'm sorry. Take off driving today in a car and try to find a place that sells gas that don't sell beer and cigarettes. You'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? There was a pizza place, only one in the town I lived in. We couldn't eat at it. It sold beer there. We had to drive 12 miles to another town to eat pizza. Am I mocking that? No, I'm not mocking. I'm saying, what happened to the morals? What happened to convictions? What happened to coming out of the world and being a separate people? Where is the convictions of the Christian people in America today? I watch things being perverted before my eyes. I see things happening and people accepting it. We as the Christian community are making exceptions every day. And they're doing it and they're calling it love. They're calling it mercy. They're calling it compassion. Did Jesus not have that? He kept an order. What did he go into the temple for with a whip and run the money changers out for? Boy, he'd be a busy man today, wouldn't he? Could you imagine him today? But he shouldn't have to do that, brethren. Because we're supposed to have the same spirit in us. We're supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? It's the Spirit of Christ, brethren. It's the same Spirit that dwelled in Christ Jesus. It said it'll dwell in our mortal bodies. And what is that Spirit doing? Brethren, it's preaching the gospel, the Word of God, and it's filling us with the same mind, the same thoughts, the same judgment as the Lord Jesus had. But we're supposed to be Christ-like. But how come we have so many variations of what Christ-like is? You know, you come against some of the perversions of this day and hour, and people say, oh, you know, God's love. Yes, He is love. Would anybody contest that? I surely would be the first one to never contest the love of God. I'm standing here tonight because of His love. I'm here tonight because of His mercy. I'm here because of His grace, brethren. Because if it wasn't for His love and His mercy and His grace, I'd have been cast headlong into hell already. Do you understand that? What are you saying, preacher? You're living in lasciviousness and walking in ungodliness? No. But I'm talking about I was born in the Adamic nature of Adam with a sentence of death. You understand that? So it's by the mercy and the grace of God that I'm here. But do we take that grace of God and keep trampling it under our feet? Do we keep trampling the blood over under our feet and living in lasciviousness and living in the immoralities that this world has to offer? Come on, friends, think about it. What about you, if you would just analyze your own self and say, what kind of adaptations and changes have I made for I could be popular with the church? Or for I could blend in with the people, for I won't be offensive to nobody? I understand that many holiness people can go to the letter of the law, and they could get legalistic, and they could destroy things and hurt people with their doctrines of holiness. When you think you're holiness and you can't reach out and love somebody that you'd call unholy, you don't have holiness. But let me tell you something. We need to have the Spirit of Holiness. Without the Spirit of Holiness, we'll never have God. Because He is holy. Amen? And when you got His Spirit, it's going to do something in you. Holiness is not an inward work. This is what people lie to you and try to teach you. That it's just an inward work. Let me tell you something. When something's going on the inside, it comes out to the outside. That's what the Bible teaches. It says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. You got holiness down in your heart, you're going to speak holy. You're going to speak as pertaining unto holiness. Amen. The Bible said, dress is pertaining unto holiness. Amen. I was sharing with Brother Paul what I heard a preacher say. He said, you might not dress in a way to make you holy, but the way you dress can sure make you unholy. I'll tell you, I like that. Amen. You know, we believe in decency. We believe in an order. If a woman came in a mini skirt or she come in her shorts, we're going to love them, amen, and we're going to teach them the doctrine. We can't beat them up because they don't have a holiness. But I can tell you this, brethren, they're going to learn. You know, there used to be a day and hour I can remember as a kid. I mean, there was restaurants that used to have dress codes. The churches don't even have them now. But you know, you can't come in here unless you're dressed like thus, us, and us. We'll deny service to you. I heard my pastor one time say, he said, well, we don't believe in preaching on the clothesline. He said, if somebody don't preach, there won't be no clothes left on it. And I know you can get so legalistic and get so caught up in the legalism, and you can have your women dressed up in their dresses, and you can have them all just the way you think they're supposed to be, and it's just whitewashed sepulchers is what the Bible says. Holiness, brethren, is this infilling of the Holy Ghost, a spirit of holiness, and it will change the outward appearance of a man. It'll change the outward appearance of a woman. Amen. You know, when you start thinking of what you look like, you know, the world has terminology they call racial profiling. And do you know that they made a big dispute and a problem or whatever with the laws and different things when this 911 took place? And some guy, because he was a Muslim and he had his turban on his head and stuff, man, they gave him a little extra attention at the airport. You know, can you blame him? And you say, well, I don't think that's fair. Well, the thing is, people are going to look at you and they're going to make an analyzation, right, promptly. I want somebody to be able to not just look at me by the way maybe I look, but I want them to be able to know that there's something about me different. Different expressions, different actions, and different mannerisms and things, and kind, and all the acts of charity. But on the other hand, brethren, I had a man stop me on the third aisle of Walmart and said, could you pray for me, brother? I've been out in the world and I need prayer. And he said, I saw the way your wife's dressed. I know that you must be holiness. And I said, yes, sir, I am. Amen. So he stopped me. Why didn't he stop the guy with the wife with short miniskirt on, or the one with the hot pants on and all tattooed up and pinned up? Why didn't he stop them and ask them for prayer? Because he had some profiling in his mind saying there's something going on here. Amen. The Bible said if eating meat offends your brother, don't eat it. There's nothing wrong with eating meat. Wearing pants isn't going to put you in hell. Wearing a short dress ain't going to put you in hell, but it might offend a brother. You understand what I'm saying? I hope so. You see, brethren, we're soul winners. The Bible said, ye that win souls are wise. So we got to remove the things of an offense. And I've been to the churches with the legalistic and their laws, and they hurt people and destroy people with these things. But we're holy people, brethren. Without holiness, it says that no man will see God or know God. So we know he's a spirit of holy, so we need to project ourselves in holy. Let's read on here. We're in 2 Corinthians, again, 11th chapter. I could spend more time speaking about the doctrine of jealousy, but I thank God he's jealous over me. I'm jealous over my wife. I don't want my wife giving her spirit out to another man. The Bible said they submit to their own husband. You see, as a pastor, there's things that I have the right to do. There's things, if I go into another church, there's an order that I cannot step out of. That there's another man that's the headship of that church. And when I go into another man's home, I am a husband to that woman. And I'm not a husband to his wife. And there would be things that would be violating the order of that. Even in fellowship, in certain ways. She comes into her husband's mind. He's the order of that home. You understand that? I'm the order of this church. I'm the pastor. God called me here. You see, when we think of jealous, I'm jealous over the congregation. I don't want them out in all these different minds and different thoughts out there. And you say, oh, if we're all in the mind of Christ, if we're all in the mind of Christ, it might be a little easier. But there's so many perverted minds out there, perverted doctrines out there. The Bible warns us about these. The scriptures are full of exhortations and warnings about doctrines. Let's go on here. Verse 3, it says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through her subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, listen to that, another. Well, how many Jesuses are there? It says if one over here says he's Jesus, it says don't go over there. So we know there's more than one, don't we? Come on now, saints, listen to me. They might even open up a King James Bible and they say, well, this is my Jesus, and he loves the homosexuals. Mine does. He loves them so much he died for them. Amen, but he don't love them so much they can continue being a homosexual. He loves them so much he'll give them the power to overcome the perversion. But they say, oh, he loves us. He made us this way. You see, that's another Jesus. That's not the Jesus I'm serving. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, well, how many Jesus are there? Well, there's only one, amen. But they have another one. There's only one true God, one King of kings and one Lord of lords, amen. And not everybody has that name and says that name. How about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Is that the same Jesus you're serving?
Him and his brother sent and spoke with Elohim and trying to figure out which one was going to come for the sacrifice. See, it's a different Jesus, brother. So we got to understand that. Verse 4 again, it says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest of apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely?" Now, brethren, again, if we would start trying to find the mind of God, the mind of Christ, and what this Jesus is that we're preaching, let's turn over to 1 John for just a moment. Exodus 34. "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous." I wanted to read that. So just remember, it's in Exodus 34, the 14th verse. It says, "Whose name is jealous is a jealous God." Let me go on before I read on over in 1 John. We're going to go over into the 4th chapter. But let me mention about this God being jealous over us. I'm jealous over my wife. I'm not going to allow her. She says, "Hey, I'm going to go out to dinner with an old guy I used to know in high school." No, that ain't going to happen. Well, what's wrong with that, brother? I'm in love with my wife. She don't need to be taking up time with some other mind or some other man. Okay, so I'm espoused here. We read in the scriptures here, I'm married unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We say the bride. So do I have any business going out here and fellowshipping the world? Do I have any business fellowshipping, brother, in the world? If I'm fellowshipping in the world, I'm fellowshipping Satan. It's an adulterous situation. If my wife goes off, she doesn't have to go into the marriage relationship with a man. Just simply going out to man with a dinner could be an adulterous situation. You understand that? So the thing is the same way with me, friendship with the world. You know, it's an adulterous situation. But I'm married unto the Lord Jesus. He's jealous over me. He doesn't want to share me with the world. He doesn't want to share me with Satan. He doesn't want to share me with that. But it sure doesn't seem like that's good doctrine today, does it? We got the world on the platforms. We got the world behind the sacred desk or their pulpits. We got the world singing their rock and roll music and all the things. And they're saying, "Well, this is the way we reach youth." I've been watching them try to reach youth like this for years. It don't work. You know what happens when you make the allowances for the rock and roll in your churches? What happens? Let me tell you what happens. They get to liking that rock and roll music and they blend right in with the world real easy. And all of a sudden these little Christian musicians and the little Christian folks, you got there right out there with the rock and rollers. We had one on our platform and one that played holiness music. I just got a picture of him on the internet and he's playing in nightclubs and bars. That's what happens when you start intermingling and fellowshipping with the world. All of a sudden it gets the snare of Satan in you. We got to come out of the world, be a separate people. We don't have no fellowship with the world. Satan's shrewd. Okay, we got to guard over things. I want to go to 1 John, the 4th chapter here. The very first verse there, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. But try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is, not was, is." Oh, praise God. I like to preach the word of God. "Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is." Did you catch that? "Now already is." Come on now. "In the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world." Now, brethren, as we read here, it said that is and is to come, or is already. Again, when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, we speak about this oftentimes. I could take you over in the book of Revelations, and it said that God was. You know, if your grandfather has passed away, we could say your grandfather was here. He's not now. And it said that God is. I is. I is here right now. You say, that don't sound like good English. I know I'm not very good at that stuff, but I is here.
And I think you is to believe me too.
Amen. But God is present. God is to come. So which one's coming? Which one is and which one was? And see, we can get into a lot of doctrine right now, but we go into the same thoughts with the Antichrist. We talk about was, is to come. And see, many people, why they're saying there's going to be an Antichrist that comes to the earth. And he's going to set up headship and rulership over in Jerusalem. He's going to go into the temple of God, the abomination of desolation. He's going to go in there and present himself as being God. And so people are looking for that to happen. But it's happening every single day. That is the one that's coming. But there's one that is. The Bible said there's many Antichrists among us. So we got to understand the God that was. Well, tell me about the God that was. What was the God that was? We can talk about Jesus Christ, God. And he walked among us in the fashion of a man. And he walked among us and felt the infirmities of man. He condescended, the Bible said, to men of a less estate. And he came and walked among men, felt all of the things that are common unto man, and he conquered them and overcome them. No, he had no sin. You came through a blood seed. He didn't come by the way of a blood seed. He came by a spirit seed. It's different. But still he came as the fashion of a man and walked in the image. He came in the image, the Bible says, of the sin nature. He wasn't sin, but he came in that image. We're not even to know him after that no more. Do you realize that when he came forth out of the tomb, that he came in another image? They didn't recognize him. I know that he was beaten upon the cross beyond recognition, marred. But when he resurrected, he didn't come that way. Why would he have gone through this metamorphosis and come if with the bruises and all those things? No, they left those scars in his hand for an identity with your name engraved. Amen. But he was no longer corruptible flesh. He was no longer mortal flesh. He was no longer telestial, brethren. He raised in celestial. He raised in mortal. He was different. We're not to know him that way no more. You know, these churches have taken, put their crucifixes and they put them stripped off on the cross. That's a shame. We're not to know him after that. That was a shame for a holy man to be stripped down like an animal and a beast and nailed to a cross. The Bible said anything that's nailed to the tree is a curse. He took the curse for you and I. We're serving an awesome God, a good God. Amen. For what he's done for us. But how do we know him today, brethren? We know him not as the God that was. We know him as the God that is. And we know him as the resurrection. Amen? Oh, do we forget about what he done for us at Calvary? No. We need to put ourselves in remembrance of what he's done for us at Calvary. Amen? But he's not coming like that no more. He's not coming to get his beard plucked. He's not coming for you to spit in his face again. He's not coming for you to call him a devil and a liar. He's not coming that way no more. He's going to set up rule and headship, but it's for the Jew. He's already set it up for us, the church. Amen? Are you looking for his coming, friend? And you say, well, I believe in the coming of the Lord. I do too, and he's already come. You see, he was, he is, and is to come. If he is and is, then he couldn't have come. Well, let's talk about what he said when he left. He said, brother, go to Jerusalem and tarry there. What did he tell them to tarry for? Until you be endued with power. What is the power? Somebody help me here. Power's the Holy Ghost, amen? Now, we believe that's God. Is that correct? Do you believe that's God? Amen. I believe it's God. I know I got the same spirit that dwelled in Christ, and it was the spirit that dwelled in him that made him God, amen? Do you understand that? And it's the spirit that lives in me. It's that Spirit of God living in me. The Bible said no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking through him. Greater is he that's in us, brother, than he that's in the world. Who's in you? God. Amen. So are we waiting for him to come? Well, wait a minute, brother. You can't do away with the coming of the Lord. I'm not doing away with the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, he's come. He's here. He's now. Anybody come in his name tonight, please raise your hand. I came in the name of the Lord. He said, when two or three come and gather in his name, he's in the midst of us. Amen. Does that mean he's here? Okay, are we looking for his coming? Now see, we got to keep our dimensions right. People get drawn up here and say, oh my God, he's teaching their God. He's going to come in the same way. When he descended, they say, why do you gaze here into the sky in like manner that you've seen him go? He's going to come back in like manner. Who's he coming back in that manner to, brethren? Who's he coming back for? He's coming back to the Jew. The natural elect, they rejected him. He said, my kingdom's without observation. It isn't something you're going to see with your eyes. We're talking about the kingdom of God is within us. The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. Amen. I'm a son of God. I'm not looking for sonship. I'm born again. Amen. Now come on, brethren, if you're a Christian, are you born again? Amen. Okay, if you're born again, then what are you? You're a son of God. Say, beloved, now you are the sons of God. I'm a son of God. Amen. The world doesn't see me that way. That's what the Bible says. It said they're not going to see me that way. But when I'm come and manifest before them with Jesus, and I stand before them, they're going to know me as what I always was. Amen. What is that? A son of God. See, people don't like doctrine like this, but it's Bible, brethren. That's what it says. You could go back right here, one chapter back, and it said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. He was the firstborn of many brethren. Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Word of God. The thing is I've got a natural father back here. I was born in this world as a natural man. I was born in this world with a sense of death in a corruptible body. Amen. Born and shapen in iniquity, the Bible says. And I found that there was a need to be born again. What do I do, Nicodemus? Do I go back into my mother's womb? And he says, you know, a man of yourself, you know, the caliber of you, and you're asking such foolish questions? There's been a birthing, brethren, taking place. What is this birthing? You see, what the problem is everybody gets into one dimension of thought, and they get into a natural realm, and they look at everything they could see, everything they could touch, everything they could smell, everything they could taste, everything they could hear. And the Bible says that we have to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. We got to worship Him in the Spirit. We got to pray in the Spirit, brothers. And if we want to see God, we got to see in the Spirit. No man has ever seen Him. But then Jesus, when He was here, He said, how can you say you have not seen Me when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within Me and I'm within the Father. And then Jesus went on to say that He's in us. Amen. Do you have Jesus in you? And it says that I'm in Him. Amen. How are you going to separate that? The Bible said there's nothing that could take you out of the hand of God. Nothing could separate us. Nothing could be laid to our charge. You see, brethren, there's some wonderful doctrine that we've got to understand. And then we start teaching, well, you're a Calvinist. And then we start teaching this, well, you're an Armenian. You know, we start teaching like this, you're Pentecostal. You start teaching like this. You see, brethren, I'm not trying to line up with nobody. I'm trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. And what He said yesterday is the same today. And it's forever into every generation, brethren. And what He done in the early church, He's doing today for you and I. And the only thing that would stop that is your limitations of unbelief. Amen. We got to know who we are. Amen. The Bible said we pass from death unto life. Do you believe that? I can't die. Well, wait a minute, brother. Can you die? Can you die, Brother Paul? I can't die because I passed from death unto life. They might put me in a box out there and you say, that's death. That's not what Jesus said. Come on now, brethren. What was Lazarus to man? He said he was in the ground for 4 days. When your heart quits beating for 4 days and you ain't breathing for 4 days and your flesh is stinking. They're saying, well, that's dead. Jesus said, no, he's not dead. He's asleep. Yes, Lord tarries, they might put me out there to sleep somewhere, but I'm not dead. I can't die. Amen. Amen. Because I passed from death unto life, and if I could die, then Jesus' word's a lie. I'm living forever. I'm not looking for eternal life. I'm in eternal life. Amen. You understand that? Oh my, I like the word of God. We got to just start believing it. You know what? We walk in doctrines of disbelief and unbelief. And we walk in the mind of a theologian that says, well, you know, hey, they've been believing this way. I don't care how long they've been believing this way. Let's stay with the Bible. Amen. Let's stay with the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is accurate. It's right. It don't need some private interpretation according to the Bible and the Word. We read the Gospel and it says that now we are the sons of God. I'm a son of God. Amen. It said that we pass from death unto life. It said we're more than conquerors. What have we conquered? Death, hell, and the grave. Amen. What is the carnal mind? It's death. But you see, when we've conquered the carnal mind of unbelief and the carnal mind of natural man, and we find that it's the enemy of God, and we put it under our feet, and we pray that God would grant unto us the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask that this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. You can't be equal with God. I sure can be. Because I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. I'm a child of God. He gave me joint heirs with Him. You married your wife, she come equal with you. If you don't believe it, try to divorce her. And the judge is going to say, she's equal. She gets half of the house. She gets your car. She gets this. I'm married unto Jesus. I'm an heir with Him. He give me everything that pertaineth unto life. Are you listening, saints? Everything. Yeah, we got something to be excited about. If we're going to give Him a hand, let's give Him a hand. Amen. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Brethren, we got to start believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did He do for you? Are you trying to earn your salvation? Are you working for salvation? I know the Bible said it's ye that endure to the end shall be saved. So we got to have endurance to the end. What's going to give us the power to endure? He said, go there to Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Amen. That's the power, brother, to get us out of the world. The power to make us a separate people. Amen. Let's believe the word of God. What did he give you? He said, everything that pertaineth unto life. He said, nothing could be laid to your charge. There ain't nothing could pluck you out of the hand of God. He talks about a marriage that's been given by him. He said, there ain't no man that could put it asunder. Amen. So how about if we're married unto Jesus? There ain't no devil of hell, no principality. There ain't nothing that could separate us from God. We're married unto him. He married unto the backslider. We can't even backslide, brother. He's married unto us. I like the word. Amen. Some say, oh, I think you could fall away. You sound like a Calvinist. I'm not no Calvinist. Amen. I'll tell you what. But I do know what God's done for me. And he hid me away and he's put me in a place, amen. And I'm not walking in the fear of the devil no more, amen. Because I got the Holy Ghost and the power of God, amen. And I walk with Jesus, amen. Brethren, we're not supposed to be some sissified bunch of weak sissies. You understand that? Maybe this homosexual church, they can go around with their little feminine doctrines. That's okay for them, I guess. It ain't for me. Amen. What are you, some kind of masculine rascal? No, I'm a son of God. Amen. Born in the Spirit of God, walking in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I know how to be humble and harmless as a dove. Amen. But I know how to be bold as a lion too. When I stand before the enemy, I'm going to stand up strong. Amen. And I'm going to look the devourer in the face and say, get you behind me, Satan. And I'm not going to flinch. But when I stand before my living God, I stand there with fear and trembling, saying, oh my God, help me. Lord God, take me. I'm weak and make me strong. Lord God, I'm sick and make me well. Lord God, I find things trying to bind me. You need to unbind me and set me free. And he's there. He's a good God. Amen. We got to know how to talk to our Savior. We have to know how to walk with our Savior. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I like the word. Can we just go on a little bit more here this evening? Try not to keep you too long. Amen. Verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. Brethren, sometimes we find ourselves, we get a little bit disturbed because it's like, well, they don't hear. You know, if they don't have ears to hear, they're not going to hear. It's hid from the wise and the prudent. The theologians don't like what Brother Rob's preaching here. But I look at it right in the scriptures, right in the Bible. They go with their doctors and teach people that they're sinners and they sin every day. That's defiling what God said. Back up one chapter, brethren. And they water this down also. One chapter, please. Let's read there in 1 John 3 for a moment. Amen. But let's stay with the Bible, brethren. The thing is, in my travels and in things like that, I don't go somewhere with an overconfidence saying, hey, bless God. Brother Rob has had made a lot of adaptions over the years. Do you realize that? Growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Do you realize that I traveled in certain denominational circles, and as I came, instead of hearing something maybe different, I would get into scriptures like the Brians would do, and I would consider, and I'd read, and I'd pray, and I'd say, wow, Lord, I need to make some adjustments. And some of the adjustments that I've had to make has separated me from some people. They don't want anything to do with me because the Word of God. And some of the people, if I preached what they preached 25 years ago, they still separate from you. I got friends that came up in some of the same doctrines. And you preach the doctrine they sit under and they want to separate from you. And say, well, that was for then. Brother, what was for then is for now. You understand that? What Paul was speaking about here and preaching about is for today, brethren. It's no different. The spirits are the same today. The same spirits are in the earth today. The same Antichrist is in the earth today. The same spirit that was in Judas is in the earth today. The same spirit that was in Jesus Christ is in the earth today. And it's the same, brother, to every generation, the Bible says. Why do we want to change it for 2,000? Why do we want to change it for this lukewarm layout of the CND people? We're not going to change. We're going to stand with what's right. The Bible said, do not remove the old landmarks. Amen. Let's quit moving them. Let's stay with things that we know is right. Know that's accurate. Amen. Yeah, we don't need to make changes, brethren. Let's stay with what works. Amen. Praise God. 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Man, isn't that so good of him? He loved us so much. He calls us the sons of God. Well, you know, why are we sons? Because we're born of him, brethren. We're born of God. Now, when I was born as a man, I was born and I got a father over here, but I got a heavenly father. Amen. And I'm birthed into the kingdom of God. I'm born again. Lest you be born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So I'm born of God. So I'm a son of God. I don't think that's difficult, is it? So I've got an inner man and an outer man. Is that correct according to the word of God? We got the first man Adam, the second man Adam. We got inner man and outer man. We got the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. He said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away into third heaven. If there's a third heaven, there's a second and a first. I met this brother's child tonight. His name's Jeremiah, correct? For as I know, he's only got one. But if he would have said, this is my third child. Now, if he told me that's his third child, then I'd say, you know what? He's got two more at home. Is that correct? This ain't algebra, I don't think, you know. But I mean, 1, 2, 3 is pretty easy, isn't it? So if there's a third heaven, y'all read that in your Bible? It's King James Bible. So the thing is he was caught away in the third heaven. If there's a third, would I be wrong to tell you there's a second? Well, I don't have no Bible for that. You got Bible for third. If he told me Jeremiah was his third son, then I'd say, well, you got two more. So would I be wrong to say, hey, he's got two more? So if there's a third heaven, there's a first and a second. We have a Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. They fit in these different heavens. Well, I think they're all in the same one. Well, then who was Jesus talking back to when he was here walking among men? And when Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, did they depart this earth? I think they were still right here. There was some that witnessed it and watched it. They watched him transfigure right before them. The kingdom of God's within. Jesus, where's he at? Well, he went to heaven. Well, the Bible said that if we come together in his name, he's here. Where's heaven at? Which heaven are you talking about right here? One's invisible. The third heaven's invisible to your eye. The Bible said the Father's invisible. The Bible talks about invisible principalities and powers. And the Bible talks about some dominions that are visible and some that are invisible. The Father said that he's invisible, that no man has seen him. He's spirit. Where is the spirit at? It's here amongst us. The Bible said we're encamped around a great cloud of witnesses. But no third heaven ain't out there on some planet. If you get your eyes quickened and changed, you'll see. We get some weird stuff. There's one preacher was preaching and he said, the heaven's out there on this planet somewhere. If you think that's bad, what about the ones that drank Kool-Aid over there in California because they're going to get on this UFO? It's sad that for loss of life, but that's the kind of filth and perversions that's going around with people. Well, I'll drink this stuff and I'll go out here and get on this spaceship and go to heaven. People aren't spiritual. Let me tell you, you can get caught away in the spirit. He said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven and saw things that he couldn't even speak nor write down. You see, we could do that today. It's accessible, brethren. The Bible talks about the things that we see, the things which appear. It said it will make us to comprehend and understand the things that are invisible. Romans 1:20, it tells us that. That we could see and understand and even comprehend the Godhead. But the Catholic Church taught you that there's a three-person God. Show me that in the Bible in one place. There's a Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Who's got the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in them? Amen. Is that a person in you or a spirit? But now the definition, I was talking about word changes. Now the definition of person has been changed so much that it can be a spirit in you. But not according to the origin of the word. The origin of the word person was something that was mortal, something that breathed. And let me tell you, the Father wasn't dependent on oxygen. He wasn't dependent on food. He wasn't dependent on the things he spirit, brethren, and he spoke everything into an existence. He took it, said nothing, and created something with it. You understand that? He took something that was nothing and spoke it into an existence. And then he took the existence of the dirt and made a man with it. Let's go back to the first part of this and we'll look for a place to square. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I had a preacher get mad at me because I told him that I was born of God and couldn't sin. He said, well, brother, he said, I'm a sinner and I sin every day. And I looked him right now and I said, well, you're of the devil. And he got mad. And I said, brother, don't get mad at me. I'm doing what the Bible says, man. Please. And I said, I'm just doing what the Bible says, brother. Well, let's read it here. Let me go back to verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law.
For the sin is the transgression of the law, and ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins. Do you believe that Jesus was manifest to take away our sins? Sin is the sting of death according to the Bible, right? So I told you I can't die, right? Why can't I die? Because I can't sin. But if I can sin, then I die. So I got to believe one or the other, right? He said, I'm more than a conqueror, a pass from death unto life. We got to get these things together, brethren. I was born into sin. The Bible said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I was born in sin, shaping in iniquity. I was appointed to corruption, and I was going to perish and die. But thank God for my Savior, Jesus Christ, that came and bought me and purchased me and shed his blood and was beaten for me, amen, that I could have life and life more abundantly. He done what he said he came to do, amen, and I'm not going to change that. I believe it. Unbelief will kill me. Unbelief will put me in hell. I believe that Jesus done what he said he came to do. When he hung his head, what did he say? The last thing he said, it is finished. What's finished? Sin was finished. Death was abolished according to the Bible. It said the last enemy of God to be conquered was death. Are you waiting on that? He already conquered it. If you don't believe it, you should have been there to see the resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. I saw it. And you say, man, you're only 50 years old. You, what you talking about is you saw the resurrection. I saw it. I testify. I saw it. And you say, oh, brother, you couldn't have. They got mad at Jesus for when he was talking about being there with Moses. Wait a minute, man. That was so many hundred years ago. And he said, I was with them. Amen. They was paying tithes unto me. Hallelujah. Old Melchizedek knew who he was, didn't he? Amen. You love the Lord? Let's go back to verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. In him is no sin. Are you in him? I'm in him. He said so. I could take you and show that over in John 14 if you like, but let's go on. And it said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. You know when he comes and he says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. But I know him, and he knows me. Little children, let no man deceive you. Little children, let no theologian deceive you. Little children, let no doctor of divinity or some theological institution of the reprobate mind, whatever, I don't care. Don't let them deceive you. This is the Bible. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you, that he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. I'm not going to teach the brethren here in this church that they're of the devil. Wouldn't that be wrong? You know what you are? You're the children of God. He bought you. He redeemed you. He purchased you. He paid a price for you. You're his beloved, he said. Now, why would I teach you that you're of the devil? So if I teach you that you sin and you sin every day, I'm teaching you that you're of your father, the devil. Is this correct? Am I in error here? Come on, somebody. I'm reading the Bible. He that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God. For this purpose, the Son of God came. Because we were born into sin, shapen in iniquity. We were sinners. This was the purpose Jesus came. This was the purpose he died. This was the purpose he shed his blood. Amen. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Did he do it? Was he successful? The Bible said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. And you say, well, brother, if you say that you don't sin, you're perfect. Uh-oh. Do you think you're perfect, Brother Rob? I just know what he done. You want to talk to me as a man? Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the very things I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. God have mercy on me. But blessed is the man who God doesn't impute sin. You know, so grace abounds that much more. Do we go on and continue on in sin? I could turn you over to Romans 6 and he said, what? God forbid. You see, the blood of Jesus doesn't give us a license to go out here and live in sin. It doesn't give us a license to keep doing the things of the world and saying, oh, we don't sin. Let me tell you, beloved, when you're born of God, you receive the spirit of holiness, the spirit of power, the spirit of God. You got the power to overcome the world. You got the power to come out of the world. You got the power to overcome Satan. You got the power to overcome drug addiction, overcome alcoholism, overcome the lust and the perversions and sin. If you're a homosexual, you got
the power to get pure and cleaned up in righteousness and come out of the perversion. There is no doctrine to continue on in the world and be a Christian. You say, well, I said this prayer. You can say it until you're blue in the face, get baptized in every water hole between here and Egypt, and go to hell. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're endued with power. Power to come out and be a separate people. We make allowances for babies. We make allowances for little children to grow up. But they grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And they sit under doctrines and they're established. And we're not no longer tossed to and fro by every doctrine. We're not no longer men running and beating at the air. We're not no longer the ones that think they know something when they don't know what they ought to know. I'm preaching the scriptures, the word of God here. Brethren, and we are born of God and we cannot sin. Because if we sin, we haven't passed from death unto life. If we sin, it means he didn't do away with the law. And when he done away with that law, we're not under it no longer. So we don't have to fulfill it. No, he gave you the power of the Holy Ghost in you that you'll fulfill every jot and tittle of it. Amen. Now it says he perfected us. He said he's perfected us once and for all by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. So you perfect? He said, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. But then he sent the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. So they say, that's confusing. No, confusion's of the devil. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's not confusing to me. Let me tell you, I'm a minister, part of the fivefold ministry, sent for the perfecting of the saints. I'm bringing the works of perfection that Christ has already done for you in the third heaven in your spirit. It's all in that inner. That inner man's pure. He's not looking for salvation. He's clean. He's washed without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. He can't nothing be laid to his charge. He can't be touched. But this image that you were born in, this part of you, it's relative to this earth and it wants to continue on in the earthly pleasures and things. But you've got the power of the Holy Ghost that we call it forth. The power and the strength of these inner living waters flowing out of your innermost being, amen. This strength and this power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it's going to put that man under subjection. It's going to put him under his feet. You're going to mortify him. The Bible said we take up our cross daily. When you wake up in the morning, that sin nature wakes up and says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to say what I want to do. I'm going to fellowship where I want to fellowship. You say, shut your mouth, you lying devil. I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High King, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to serve the God today. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. And I say, get you behind me, Satan. And I find myself caught away and raptured away every single day into the heavens with Jesus Christ, walking with him, fellowshipping with him, and supping with him. Amen. That's a daily thing, brother. The Pentecostal, I got filled with the Holy Ghost 25 years ago. I said, you poor thing. I got filled up this morning. Amen. And tonight, amen. Because I'm walking with my God. Amen. You know, that old food was good a few weeks ago, but man, I wanted some the next day and the next day and the next day. Amen. You know what? I want to eat of this thing every day. Amen. I thank God for what he done for me yesterday and the day before, but I thank God what he's doing today. Amen. So we're taking up a cross daily. Why? Because there's something got to be killed out every day of your life. Amen. You got to kill that nature out, kill that mind out, kill that man out. You got to tell Satan to shut his mouth because this outer garment of iniquity is relative to this world. And that's the part you're going to kill out every day. We got people trying to do away with that. They say, oh, we can't sin. We're born of God. We can't sin. Give me another whore. Oh, let me have another joint. Give me another snort. You know, hey, I can't sin. They're nothing but full of sin. Let me tell you, if you teach a doctrine and preach a doctrine that you're born of God and can't sin, brother, you're going to be walking in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're not coming with some superior lip and some superior word. You're coming with the demonstration. You're coming with the power of the Holy Ghost. You're coming with Satan and put under your feet. Amen. And you're walking in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. You might stumble. You might stagger. You might fall on your face, brother, but it ain't going to be imputed to you as sin. The righteous man gets back up. How many times do I forgive him? 70 times 7 for his trespasses. There's a most definite difference. The Son of God can't sin because that's death. You might trespass against God. You might fall on your face and he'll pick you up and he'll love you. Amen. But if you keep on yielding to the fruits of the flesh, the Bible said, whoever you yield your members to or who you are of, and you might find your father being the devil. Amen. And you might find yourself twice dead and plucked up by the roots, according to the word of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Is that all right, brother? Let's give Jesus Christ a hand. He's our God and our Lord and our King. He's our salvation. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by the works of Jesus at Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're just going to bring them works and make them manifest. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's read that verse 9 again. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for the seed remaineth in him, and he cannot, because he is born of God. Now, can I talk about the seed for just a moment? You see, Jesus came, brethren, into this world. And he didn't come through the loins of humanity or mankind. That's a blood seed. When we talk about the three heavens, first heaven, second, third, we talk about in the Bible, it says the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And then it goes on, it said these three bear record in heaven. Amen. And it talks about three that bear witness in the earth. It talks about the water, blood, and spirit. Well, each one of these have a seed. You understand that? There's a seed to this world out here, and it's relative to the water world. This natural world has to do with that first heaven. It has to do with the water seed. Jesus used them for parables continually. He said that seed must go in the ground. It must die. And it talks about bringing forth grain after its kind. Even when he goes to explaining some things of the Godhead and about the spirit body and about spirit flesh, about this transfigured body, this celestial body, he went over and he said, by chance, some grain beareth. And he even used it as an example over there in the 15th chapter of Corinthians. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you is there's a seed just relative to the water world. Amen. The water world is when they've had the first covenant. When we go over to Adam and Eve and we think of this water world and the water covenant, they didn't have meat. There was no bloodshed. There wasn't killing animals. They had things that pertain to the water world, the vegetation, the aid of the things of the trees. Amen. Well, that covenant was violated. There was a violation of a covenant right there in the water world. And then the Lord himself came into the garden there, and he brought and introduced another covenant, a blood covenant, and he killed an animal, and he clothed them with the skin of an animal to cover their nakedness. Amen. He was introducing Jesus Christ, you understand? He was introducing the covenant of blood for us. So then we come on down and we find that this earth was totally engulfed, baptized, submerged in water. Amen. The fulfillment of the water covenant. But there was a blood covenant introduced. You go through the Old Testament and you find bloodshed, bloodshed, bloodshed. Go into that city. Go into that country. Kill every man. Kill every woman. And kill every animal, bring nothing out. Blood, blood, blood. So we were talking about a water covenant, a water seed, and a water witness done away with. Now we come into a blood, and we find a blood witness. They were sacrificing bulls and goats and rolling back sin. It was a blood covenant, brethren. The water covenant was total earth consumed with water to do away with the first covenant. The second covenant, when the second covenant came in, the blood. And then we find Abel. And we find Cain brings forth a sacrifice from the earth, from the ground as a farmer. And he says, God, I got this sacrifice. He said, I no longer will accept your sacrifice. The water covenant has been void. The water covenant's been done away with. But he accepted Abel's because it was a blood sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying? So then we find that he got mad and there was another bloodshed there, killing his own brother. We come down to the end of the blood covenant. And you say, we're still in it. There's some that are. I'm not. You understand that? That's the scariest thought, isn't it? That'd scare me if I heard a preacher say that. I'd say, man, where's the door? I'm ready to run. Let me tell you something. I'll explain this. The Bible said a wise man hears the end of the matter. You see, God didn't accept that water covenant, did he? That sank from the water seed. Well, there was a blood seed. And we find that man came through. There was children that was brought forth after this fall. And we find a blood seed that God tried to keep pure all the way through the Old Testament up to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they had to go out and kill them all out. Because it was trying to taint that blood life, that pure blood life. Don't marry them. Don't bring none of them in. When they tried to intermingle, he'd put a stop to it. And he wouldn't let them do that. Kept that bloodline clear all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus came and he was the finishing of that blood covenant, brethren. He was the ultimate blood sacrifice. God was not satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. But Jesus Christ came and he took that body, that image of this world, the image of the sin, the Bible says. He brought that image to the cross of Calvary and it was smitten. Amen. And they jammed them thorns down over his head and the blood ran. They beat his back. Plowed it like a field and the blood ran. He was the finishing of the blood covenant, brothers and sisters. He's the one that brought the blood sacrifice to finish. And he introduced another covenant to us. It was the covenant of the Spirit. Water, blood, and Spirit. And you will not get into the Spirit lest you come through the blood. Jesus is the door. He's the mediator between God and man. He is the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way to enter in. Now the thing is, are you doing away with the blood? No, I've come through the blood. I came through the door. Amen. And where did I go? Into heaven. Amen. There's no need for a blood sacrifice once you're in the third heaven because there's no sin there. You understand that? There's no need of that.
when you get into heaven. You understand that? Now let's talk about that for a minute. I had a Pentecostal preacher and I said, "Sir, you're a Catholic priest." He got mad at me. He said, "Well, brother, why would you want to insult somebody like that?" And I said, "Well, you get mad at the Catholic priest because he's got the little booth over here. And the people go out and continue to live in sin. And they go into this little booth and they say, 'Father, forgive me of my sins, you know, done this.' And I went and got drunk. And, well, you know, count your beads and say your Hail Marys." You say, "I ain't in agreement with that." Well, what's the difference of your Baptist or your Pentecostal or your preacher and the deacon's been saved 17 times? And he goes off and he lives out here in the world. He's drunk and smoking dope and drinking and fixing and doing that. And he keeps coming pleading the blood of Jesus. Read your Bibles! It said there remaineth no more sacrifice for willful sin. It said once you've come to the knowledge of the truth, once you've partaken of this heavenly gift, amen, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, and once you come to that knowledge and you continue on in sin, it said there remaineth no more sacrifice for that sin. Isn't that what the Bible says? People don't like to preach the word. They don't like to hear the word of God. Amen. And why? Because that was done. It took away the Adamic nature that I was born into. It took away the sin of the flesh. Now we're talking about the second dimension, the sin of the soul. It's the saving of the soul. You're not accountable to the sin of the flesh. Read your Bible. It's the sin of the soul, brother. That's what you'll find yourself being cut off from God for. So we find at this finishing of the blood, we have a blood seed, and it leaves the loins of a man. It goes into the earth. The water seed goes into the earth and produces after its own kind. It brings forth the fruit trees or whatever. The blood seed goes into the earthen vessel of the woman, and it brings forth after its kind. If it's a black man, he's going to bring forth a black child. A white man will bring forth a white child. An apple tree will bring forth an apple tree. Are you understanding that? It's not complicated, is it? Okay, but we find that there's a seed that remaineth in us that keepeth from sin. Amen. What is that seed? Amen. It's the same seed that went in Mary. Amen. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of God came over her. The Bible said in the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Amen. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, moved over the darkness. Amen. And said, "Let there be light." And it said that the waters moved apart in the dry land. Come up here. And he put a firmament between the heavens. And he called one night and one day. That's creating of man. There was an inner man, there is an outer man, and he came and moved over, and that seed come in, and he spoke light, spoke revelation, spoke understanding into us. It's a light, brothers and sisters, the understanding of the revelation of what Jesus Christ done for us. It's the seed of life, amen. It's that seed that goes in us, and nothing can touch us. Nothing can be laid to our charge. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, amen. We're born of God. We're born and caught away into the heavens, amen. Nothing could touch us or be laid to our charge, amen. That's the seed of the Spirit. We've got to understand that so we don't go continuing on. Once we're in the Spirit offering a blood sacrifice, he said there remaineth none. The blood sacrifice brought us into the Spirit. And the Bible said that if you go back into sin, I could take you over into Hebrews the 6th chapter and read it to you if you'd like, and into the 10th chapter. It said you have one thing to look forward to, the fiery indignation of God. What is that? What is the fiery indignation of God? John the Baptist said, "There's not one I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." Let me tell you, if you're a son of God, you're not going to be put in the lake of fire. You're going to be baptized with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and he's going to burn the dross out of you. He's going to get the impurities out of you, amen. And you're going to be chastened. He said, "I chasten them that I love," amen. But if you're not the elect seed of God, if you're not a part of that, then the fiery indignation of God is being put into the lake of fire, and that's eternal. So there's a difference. Son of God ain't going to no lake of fire. You understand? We got to differentiate. You see that we got to differentiate what you are of. The Bible said if you live in the world, fellowship the world, walk in the world, then your father's the devil. And you'll know what being baptized in the lake of fire wasn't created for man. It was created for the devil. But what happens is your spirit becomes one with him. If you want eternal life, there's only one that's going to get it, and that's Jesus. He's already got it, amen. And you're going to become one with him. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, amen. You will be one with him. He said, "I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one," it says in the flesh. What kind of flesh is it? The Bible said there's some beast flesh. There's some fish flesh. And it said there's some celestial, amen. We are celestial. We are joint heirs with Christ. We've got a heavenly fleshly body, amen. It's not this one made with hands, amen. I'm not talking about this fleshly thing. I'm talking about one created by the Father, hallelujah. One not made with hands, amen. It's eternal in the heavenlies, amen. That's been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And we're supposed to speak those things, the things that are spiritual. Paul said, I want to speak to you as by the Spirit. I don't want to speak to you as carnal. I want to speak to you by the Spirit of God. Amen. And these are things he said you need to be teaching by now. Let's stand together. Amen. You love the Lord? Would it be okay to give him one more hand? Amen. I love the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I love his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Brother Paul here showed me a picture of a little preacher over in the Philippines holding his head like they had John the Baptist's head. Same way. The head and local preacher here rebuked him, said, you don't need to show that to people. No, he does need to show that to people, brethren. Let me tell you something. You know, you think, well, that's what happened in the old time. I'll tell you it's happening, brethren, and it's going to start happening right here in your country. Because right now they're calling what I preach hate crime. They don't want to hear you preach against sodomy. They don't want to hear you preach against immorality. Man, no preachers are putting away their wives and going and getting them another woman. And no, you can't say nothing about that. And you got nothing but a whoremonger standing behind a sacred desk. There ain't no preacher ain't got no laws or rights to be putting no woman away and picking him up another one. If his wife leaves him, an unbeliever in the parts, that's a different thing. If she goes off in immorality, that's a different thing. But because he got tired of that one and gets him another one, that man ain't nothing but a whoremonger. Amen. And he's got no business behind no sacred desk. I don't care what he calls himself. He can say he's born of God and can't sin. He ain't nothing but a sinner, and he's a liar, and he's full of lies, and his father's a liar and always has been.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.